Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildebrand here, Dan Rubenstein, a man seated to my virtual right in beautiful New York City. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? Busy day, but fun day.
Busy day over here as well. Just came from the dentist.
There's a lot of excitement behind that voice. Did you have a good dental visit, Ty?
I love the dentist.
Yeah? No cavities?
I had a little bit of a baby cavity, they told me.
A baby cavity? So do you need it filled?
I had it filled. Yeah, I'm good to go.
You're good to go.
Good to
go,
man.
How many cavities have you amassed in your time?
This would be the first.
This will be the first. Wow. Have you been eating differently? Have you been altering your brushing routine?
I'm over 30 and you're there now, so enjoy that ride, big guy.
I'm exactly 30.
Well, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. Week 10 is upon us. We're going to preview all of those games. We're also going to do, I think, a quick lightning round. We've sort of gotten in that habit now.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about some other action in and around the world of college football. And we will tell you about our Pants Across America fundraiser.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's pretty much the central theme of this show.
All right. So let's get into all the college football action. Before we get going, I did want to ask you, I saw there was this letter that an Oregon guy wrote that got posted. Can you comment on the article, on the whole premise here? Because I was a little hazy what exactly I was reading.
A former Oregon player who played in a BCS game, that's all that, wrote an anonymous letter to John Canzano.
Your boy.
My boy, yeah, he's just a dum-dum in Portland, writes for the Oregonian. He's a columnist and published this anonymous letter about how this former Oregon player was treated poorly by college football fans.
What?
So Oregon's fans, I will say, are like, Oregon fans can be like huge a-holes because they fall under the Venn diagram of college football fans.
Right. No, I agree.
And so, yeah, it's a very important forward step in journalism that college football fans can be a-holes. So, hooray.
Let me ask you this. I've met a bunch of Oregon fans now. You, of course, being one of them. Very classy, very educated.
I wouldn't say either of those things.
Very
yes,
upstanding individual.
All right, I have a clean record.
Oregon fan base. Mm-hmm. Where does the Oregon fan base rank relative to some others that you've experienced? Like, how would you compare Oregon to Oregon State or Oregon to Florida State or Oregon to Florida? Where does Oregon fit in the pecking order?
Loud, vocal, very aggressive, both football and basketball. They would pass around papers that would include personal attacks on players, and just like they do at other schools, it doesn't make it any better.
Right.
I would say probably more vocal and a little bit meaner than your average big school, but I don't think anything dangerous and worth running to a newspaper about it being extreme, like, and doing it anonymously, by the way. That's the only reason I thought it was funny and kind of chicken shit. Like, put your name on something. Who cares? But yeah, it's the Oregon fan base is loud and it has a reputation for being sort of brutal. And I don't know. I think a lot of fan bases do as well.
Do you think this is going to have any bearing on the fan base? Think people are actually going to, you think it's going to register? No.
No, who cares?
People are going to be
on.
Are people going to be in Austin? Like, oh,
it's okay to be a grown up.
We shouldn't be
just
so
move
hard.
On and like, oh, you had a shitty time at a football game. Don't go to that football. Don't sit in that area anymore. That's what I would do. I would just, or don't go to games. Going to games, they're not as fun as they used to be as you get older.
Well, and
so maybe
playing,
this former player should just hang out.
Did he go to the Nickel State game? That was a good question. I don't know.
It's easier to at Nickel State to get creative with your taunting because that game got quite boring.
All right. Very quickly, another bulletin coming across the wire.
Mm-hmm.
Florida Atlantic coach Carl Pelini resigning.
Done.
Caught for, quote, illegal drug use.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of an abrupt resignation, to say the least. It was just his second year. I saw 99 weeks, something of that ilk on the job.
Right.
ESPN.com first reported the move. Now, we're not on the up and up with Florida Atlantic football. Let's put that out there on the table. But we are on the up and up with the Pelini name.
And with the illegal drugs.
And with the illegal drugs, if you know what we mean. So this is a bit of a troubling story. We don't know all the details. My favorite tweet, my favorite point that I saw come across in light of this was that if FAU really wanted to get creative and give the proverbial finger to FIU, they should just go out and hire Mario Cristobal away from Alabama.
Mm. There it is.
That would be a good one, right?
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah, FAU 2-6 on the season, not having a very good year anyway. So if this were a 7-1 team and it was the things seemed to be great in the athletic department and within the football department, you know, maybe it's a slightly different situation. I really don't know the particulars, and it's sort of dumb to speculate on it. But it sounds to me like something was going to come out very, very publicly. And maybe that's a video, picture, something sort of proving something, unless something happened. And, you know, I just said I didn't want to speculate, then just speculated. But, yeah, it sounded like when it happens this abruptly, it almost always appears like there's going to be more.
I like when they go illegal drug use.
Illegals.
Not just drug use, illegal drug use. Specify something more. We'll find out more about this. Is there anything else that... that is stuck in your craw that we need to address before we get to
our picks?
I don't
like talking about my craw publicly, generally, Ty.
Well, I'm the one who just went to the dentist, so.
That's true. Not too much. Kaysen Williams for Washington had foot surgery, and he's going to be out a while, yeah. I would imagine. They're saying 3 or 4 months, so that's going to be that. DJ Humphreys, left tackle for Florida, is out. I think 2, 3, 4 weeks, something like that, with the sprained MCL. He's a big dude and sort of crucial for a Florida offense that isn't even that good.
Right.
And Ben Gardner's out the rest of the season. One of Stanford's starting defensive ends. Very, very good defensive end for Stanford. So that obviously hurts them with Oregon around the corner. Tennessee has a new starting quarterback in Josh Dobbs. Not to be confused with Josh Dodd,
former producer.
Solid Verbal video producer.
Yeah.
Nathan Shielhouse. Oh, the quarterback for Illinois, his father was banned from the Illinois campus for a year.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you didn't hear about this?
For what? What did he do?
There was an altercation and an arrest resistance at the game against Michigan State. Yeah. My first thought when I heard this news and had Illini fan Scott texting me about it was, you know, Dumb and Dumber, like, our pets' heads are falling off.
Right.
Our quarterback's fathers are getting kicked out of the
stadium.
What's
the most embarrassing thing that Richard Rubenstein ever did to you at a youth sports event?
Well, he was the pitcher and coach pitch. I don't know that he was ever really, he filmed a lot, and I probably was super embarrassed at that.
You know, I had a playoff game one summer when I was still tearing it up in Northampton in-house baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And my father decided with one of his clunky old, I don't even know what model camcorder it was, but
okay.
He had it. And at this point in time, the whole rechargeable battery thing hadn't quite
They're gained, like the size of car batteries.
It hadn't quite gained traction. Technology was not there yet.
Right.
So in order to make this whole thing work, clearly he needed like a 150-foot extension cord. And in order to get the most optimal view, looking through a fence, mind you, he found the need to not only record from the very, like, apex of the grandstand, where everyone could see him, but because he was so hot, decided to, you know, roll up the sleeves a little bit and show a little skin on the arms. I never quite lived that down.
Nice. I like that.
As long as your dad didn't do that, I think we're...
No, did not. Chris Borland's healthy as a transition.
Oh, great.
Yeah. James Franklin's status has been up. I don't know why I'm doing injury reports. Let's talk about games.
All right. Let's get to all of our Week 10 picks, shall we?
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
Your Week 10 picks. Let's lock them up.
Brought
to you in part by
LegalZoom.com
this week. Two reasons why now is the perfect time to start that business, Dan.
Give me them both.
Number one,
rapid fire.
The economy picking up. The longer you wait, the longer you delay any potential success.
Mm-hmm.
Reason two, right now you can incorporate your business or form an LLC at LegalZoom.com for just $99. How about that?
That's not bad at all. Under $100. You know how I feel about LegalZoom and lawyers in general?
Yeah.
I feel like I feel about pancakes. My pancake stance is let somebody else order pancakes. On things that lawyers have to look over, contracts, let somebody else go to law school and take care of this. And the LegalZoom folks, best, brightest, they get shit done. It's great.
Here's the deal, too. They provide all the self-help services at your specific direction that you need. Mm-hmm. And they can connect you with that attorney.
That's
but
great.
But since they aren't a law firm, again, I'm not a correct. Law firm, you're going to save a pile of money. They've got an online process that guides you step by step through whatever it is you're trying to do. You'll get total customer support. It could not be any easier. Right now, you get an extra discount when you enter Verbal. That's V-E-R-B-A-L in mm-hmm. the referral box at checkout. You don't want to wait on this deal. Others out there are taking charge of their future. Now is the best time to get in the game and launch that business. Again, don't put it off. If you want to incorporate, get a trademark, a patent, whatever else, LegalZoom.com right now, discount code Verbal. That's LegalZoom.com. Your discount code is Verbal. That's V-E-R-B-A-L.
So easy.
B-A-L. Big thanks to the LegalZoom folks for hanging around here
yep.
with us on the Solid Verbal. We are in week 10. And look, I don't know about you, but I tried to go through this slate of games, and I had a hard time picking out which games I wanted to discuss. Because there's really like 1.5, 2.5 marquee matchups that we're really going to want to sink our teeth into.
Right.
Beyond that, we're really just picking games that feature teams that we know their fan base has listened to our show.
Yeah.
For lack of better terms. So
yeah.
let's start with Friday. 9 p.m., ESPN2. It's the deuce.
The deuce.
Oregon State, -4.5, -5, depends where you look, against USC. Now, USC looked pretty good last week against the Utah squad that beat Stanford. They held them
yeah.
to just 200 yards, only 3 points. The offense still leaves an awful lot to be desired, no doubt.
Yeah, I was going to say, the second half scoring for USC left a lot to be desired.
Clearly.
Yes.
Let's get rolling with our Chris the Capper lock of the week. He's now 7-3
wow.
on the year. Have a listen.
Let's take USC +5 at Oregon State. Now, I know what you're thinking, USC all kinds of turmoil, but they have won 2 of the last 3 in 2 straight Pac-12 games, if that makes you feel any better. Beat Arizona a couple weeks ago, 38-31, and took care of Utah easily last week. Not sure what the love is for Oregon State. Let's run through their wins for this year, shall we? They have Hawaii at home, at Utah in overtime, at San Diego State, a game they were losing by 10 or more in the fourth quarter that they needed to come back to win at. And then we go Colorado, Washington State, and Cal, 3 of the worst Pac-12 teams in the conference in 2013. Last week, big home night game against Stanford, and they laid an egg. Another point to USC's credit, while Oregon State has a really, really great passing offense, USC is 23rd in the nation in passing yards allowed and 20th in the nation in team passing efficiency. I just don't know, and Oregon State obviously does not have any run game to speak of. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, and I think 5 is just too many points to be given a very talented team that I think can shut down Sean Mannion in the Oregon State passing offense. So we're actually going to go on a little limb here and take USC to win this one outright. Let's take USC to win this one 24-20.
24-20, going Trojans wow. outright, Dan. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I disagree.
Oh, should we play the buzzer?
No, you don't have to play the buzzer. Okay. The reason why I disagree is USC has gotten continually more and more beat up. Not a fan of their offensive line. And if we're going to agree, and we don't have to agree, that Oregon State is an okay to pretty decent team somewhere in that range. They're not a very good team, but they're a respectably decent team. To beat a team like that on the road, you have to, I would say, be able to run the ball consistently, be able to stop the pass, which I know he gives some stats, but that secondary is beat up. Safeties are being moved to corner. There's just not a ton of depth there, and that's where Oregon State can stress a team. And I also don't like the ability of USC to keep drives going. And potentially, you get a night spot. We've seen yeah. these night games before. They seem to heavily and emotionally favor the home team. USC is really awful on third downs. So if we're going to talk about extending drives and really taking the crowd out of it, taking emotion out of it, I don't think USC has the ability at the quarterback position within the offensive line. And really, the defensive line is really good, but they lose another, I think they lose another linebacker for the season. They're
yeah.
beat up all over the place. They're not deep all over the place. I don't feel like this is a team that's built to go on the road and beat Oregon State.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, USC does not have the high-powered offense. They've been
no.
more careful.
I hate this offense.
Yeah, I don't
like
it either.
LA offenses.
I don't like them either. But they have been more careful with the football recently.
Yeah.
9 turnovers in their first 5 games, just 1 in their last 3. So that in and of itself signals some kind of improvement. Oregon State still really one-dimensional and going up against a USC defense that I still have a lot of faith in.
Yeah.
I think that bodes well for the Trojans. What doesn't bode well for the Trojans is the gambling trends, okay? I took a hard look at gambling trends this week just because I thought maybe it'd add a little more flavor to each of our previews. Yeah. USC, conveniently enough, 0-7 in their last 7 road games against the spread versus a team with a winning home record. Mm-hmm. So that would indicate that Oregon State's going to cover this. But I think this is a 3-point game one way or another. I'm going to go USC plus the 4.5, plus the 5, plus whatever the number is. I think Oregon State wins, but I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think Oregon State's a touchdown, 7 or 8 points better. I think they win 28-20.
All right, let's move on. 3:30 on Saturday on CBS. They call this one the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Dan. And quite honestly, they're going to need every last cocktail.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's what you need to watch this game.
They're going to need them all to make this game palatable. The favorite, 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 meetings. And it is intriguing because in this matchup between Georgia, which, by the way, is a 2.5-point favorite over Florida,
right?
We will find extreme strength versus extreme strength. And also extreme weakness against extreme weakness. This game's an infirmary. So many injuries.
What is Georgia's extreme strength?
Offense.
Right now?
They're good on offense. It's their strength, Dan. They're still pretty good.
With their lack of total, Todd Gurley, I think, is coming back, but man,
girl talk, baby.
Line is beat up. So many receivers are gone. Yes, if there's going to be an extreme strength, yes, it is that offense, but ugh.
Don't catch me on semantics, man.
I'm catching you on injury semantics.
We got like 40 minutes to go here. This is going to be a bumpy
ride.
True.
This
game's an infirmary, by the way. And
yes.
To your point, injuries on both sides in this one. You mentioned UGA might get Gurley back, so that's a plus for them. But 2.5 points, I have no real lean in this game. I think Georgia's probably the better team. The injuries kind of scare me away. My lean is Georgia here, but I think I could probably be swayed to go Florida.
All right. I am myself taking Georgia here just because I have seen the Florida offense, and I think that's the worst possible thing on this field. And it's a neutral site. Florida is now missing their left tackle. I don't know, technically if that makes offenses better, but that was essentially Florida's offensive line has been pretty inconsistent this year, but a quarterback who hasn't been all that great now having his blind spot be protected by less experience doesn't feel like the winning recipe here. So I feel like Georgia will win ugly. I said it on Easy Call. I'll say it again right now. 17-13 feels about right to me, and I don't even know if it goes that high in points. So I think Georgia should be able to get something going on the ground a little bit. That should be able to open up something at some point. I think there's going to be turnovers galore. I would imagine some sort of Florida special teams touchdown, but I can't imagine a lot of this.
So you're saying essentially both teams playing big, dumb Will Muschamp football.
Not in style. I don't think Georgia will play stylistically that. I just think their success will be tied to that sort of theme.
Ugh, God.
Yeah.
Ugh. What kind of a cocktail does this game equate to right about now? I'm trying to think
of
a
white Russian.
I'm trying to think of the worst drink I've ever had.
It feels a little bit like a white Russian. I don't know.
White Russian. That's the one with milk in
just
it, right?
Just plodding. Yeah, milk and vodka. It's technically, it has no appeal to me.
All right. Moving on, another 3:30 game on one of the major networks, ABC.
Yep.
Michigan State, a home favorite over their intrastate rival, Michigan.
Yep.
This line, when I made our initial sheet, was 4.5. It's now up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Has Michigan State now figured out this whole offense thing? Because they had 42 points last week, Dan.
Yes, and what did they do the week before that?
Last week they had 42 points, Dan.
14 points against Purdue. Yeah, Michigan State is well on their way to moving this offense forward. Connor Cook was something like 15 of 16 last week. So clearly there are rhythms being forged in East Lansing. I don't know what that means, but it sounds really good, right?
Rhythm's going to get you, sure.
Michigan State does more things well. Michigan as a team, especially with Penn State's total dismantling or dismantlification against Ohio State last week. That loss looks even worse for Michigan.
Does.
How UConn has looked since that game looks even worse, particularly with Michigan on the road. These are two games when Michigan went to UConn and Michigan goes to Penn State. Granted, it's not travel intensive to go to East Lansing from Ann Arbor, but this is, again, a coaching staff, an ability or an inability to prepare a team for hostile environments and play calls and bouncing back from miscues. I don't think Michigan has that ability. Michigan plays well in a number of different places on the field. The running game isn't the best. They have talent all over the place. They're underperforming given their talent. But Michigan State just does not give anything up easy. And I don't know if Michigan is built schematically with Devin Gardner, with the offensive line inconsistencies beyond Taylor Lewan, to do something about it and to be able to adjust against a really good defense. I think Michigan State wins this game 27-17.
They don't give it up easy, yeah. I am buying Michigan State.
Good.
I am.
Every reason to.
You know, it took a while to get going. And
you can run it and play defense in the Big Ten.
You're going to win a lot of games, sure.
Yeah,
this isn't a great offense, and we're not going to feign that it is, but
right.
The defense is great. And in a game like this, at home in a rivalry, mm-hmm. if you can say you could take the better defense for under a touchdown.
Shalik.
That feels pretty good to me. Now, this is another one of these games, and hopefully you won't call me on this. A bit of a strength on strength, weakness on weakness type of matchup here between the Michigan offense, the Michigan State defense, the Michigan State offense, the Michigan defense.
The Michigan defense isn't the worst. They haven't looked great these past couple weeks. They held Penn State down pretty much that game. They made the Penn State offense look ugly at times.
You mean to 43 points?
To 43 points, yes. But right. I'm speaking on in terms of like third downs. Michigan did a good job. There were certain things to take away, and numbers back up certain strengths of the Michigan defense. There are talented players there. They really gave up a ton. Part of that was because of turnovers on the offensive side of the ball to Indiana.
Yeah.
So there were short fields, and that's a team discipline thing. And if there is a weakness for Michigan State on both sides of the ball, it is penalties. So there is an ability for Michigan to take advantage in certain spots. But yes, to answer your question,
thank you.
If there was a weakness on weakness, it would be Michigan State's offense against Michigan's
defense. Michigan defense looked great against Indiana, but that's neither here nor there. Michigan 0-5 against the spread in their last five beatings. I think they go to 0-6. I really like Michigan State here, Dan. I really like them a lot. Let's lock it up.
Wow.
Lock of the week.
I'm buying the Spartans, baby. I'm all on the Spartans this week.
All right, as you should be. Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah, love his name.
He's a good one.
Love his name. 3:30, Big Ten Network, Nebraska.
Oh, God. Must we talk about Nebraska?
The Huskers.
We have Tommy Frazier, the capper, on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nebraska -7, home favorite against Northwestern. Can Northwestern please get over this breakup? Can they do it? Can they get over that loss to Ohio State already?
They are beat up, but yes.
God.
Everybody's beat up at this point.
They are. How bad have they taken that loss to Ohio State? And I know we discussed this a little bit, but just to give you a frame of reference, here were the point totals for Northwestern in their first five games. 44, 48, 38, 35, and 30.
Oh, yeah.
Then Ohio State happened.
What happened then?
6-17-10. How about that? Since that Ohio State game.
Ideal. A lot of injuries, but again, and some people made note of this, that we didn't talk about the injuries. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's beat up. People have lost quarterbacks. I mean, your team lost its quarterback before the season even started. By the way, test type situation.
Yeah.
Test type situation. That was a very uncomfortable interview.
Yeah, it didn't.
And we love Andy Staples. That was an uncomfortable interview.
No, just maybe, you know, sometimes it's better to leave some things unsaid.
Test type situation. But yeah, everybody's hurt at this point. Northwestern's hurt at this point, and they're also hurt in their hearts.
They're reeling a bit.
Yeah.
So who are you picking? Are you picking a team here?
No, I'm choosing to abstain from this game. I'll take Nebraska in this game.
Yeah.
I don't know if Northwestern has the ability to move the ball consistently, even though it's Nebraska. I'm not a fan of this Husker team, but there are pieces. I really do like when he's not fumbling Amir Abdullah a whole lot. He should be getting the ball more and more against this Northwestern team that's getting worse and worse each week and more beat up each week. So I'm going to go Nebraska here. It feels like one of those games where people will become slightly inflated because they think Northwestern's still okay. Yeah. Nebraska wins this game 34-19.
Is Roger Sherman the one wearing the purple pants?
Roger Sherman is the one bravely and powerfully wearing purple pants. Wore an Olden Polonese warm-up jacket and pants, like game-worn warm-up jacket and pants from the Utah Jazz days of Olden Polonese to a Halloween party, and he's like 11 inches shorter than Olden Polonese.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is he going purple pants then for this game as well?
I would assume so.
He
went purple pants a couple weeks ago against was it Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't turn out so good, so I don't know how he's feeling about that.
Well, speaking of the pants, we need to mention this. So,
we do.
You know, you guys have been doing this pants thing all year, and mm-hmm. I've kind of been on the sidelines, been lobbing some grenades at, who is it, you, Celebrity Hot Tub, and Roger Sherman?
Yeah.
I've been lobbing some grenades.
You're a little bit scared.
Well, maybe a little bit scared.
A little scared.
I'm not afraid to admit that. We've decided that, well, someone else decided, Celebrity Hot Tub and you decided, that perhaps if you enticed me with a fundraiser that would benefit mm-hmm. less fortunate, perhaps I would be willing to reconsider my stance on the gold pants.
Yeah, rethink pants. There's nothing wrong with poppin', Ty.
Enter crowdrise.com.
Mm-hmm.
Crowdrise, for those of you who aren't aware, it's kind of like Kickstarter. It's a fundraising website for, in this case, a charity. So what we've decided to do, this was a joint effort, we have set a target of $1,000. If we go over $1,000, well, the more the merrier. We are going to raise funds for Operation Warm, which is based here in Chads Ford, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour and 20 minutes south.
Yeah.
Their whole reason for being is to supply needy kids with winter coats, not old, beaten up ones, but mm-mm. new winter coats that they can use to keep warm whenever they're going.
Everybody deserves a new warm winter coat.
Totally. So if you head on out to crowdrise.com, we're going to put the link on our Twitter. We've been tweeting it out. It's on the Facebook page. It's going to be on solidverbal.com here very shortly. Mm-hmm. If you head on out there, if we get to $1,000, we are going to do our very best to get those pants ordered.
We're not just going to do our very best, Ty. We're going to get you fitted in bright golden yellow slim fitted pants.
So then what do I do? Like, if I can't make it up there to New York, do you just want, like, glamour shots of me in the pants around Eastern PA,
Ty.
Like at Wegmans? What am I supposed to do?
No, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be out in Los Angeles for the national championship game that's happening at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to do some video. I don't think we can put Celebrity Hot Tub on camera quite yet.
Right.
But you and I are going to be doing some video. Maybe Dave, the camera guy, he's going to be available and he's going to shoot some stuff. Maybe for SB Nation. If Oregon's playing in that game, if Oregon's not playing in that game, it doesn't matter. I will rock green pants while you rock your golden yellows.
If we do that, we could have a Dumb and Dumber thing going on out at the BCS.
Way better than Dumb and Dumber. People still doing that. You got to advance the narrative. It's time.
Wow.
I see we can get Andy Staples has red pants. I don't know if Spencer Hall is going to be out there. We're going to have a colorful, panted duo, trio, quartet.
Did you say panted?
Colorful panted, Ty. We're be-pantsed.
Look, this is a good cause. This is a good cause. And I would not normally consent to anything like this, but
this is Hollywood, Ty.
It's Hollywood. You got to be a little flashier.
We're going to go to Trader Joe's in the pants.
That, you know what? That would be about right. That would be about right. I need some hipster. I have hipster shoes. I can wear those.
Nobody's else is wearing. I'm not wearing anything else. I'm just going pants.
Just the pants.
It's going to be nice and warm in L.A.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We got to book those plane tickets, by the way.
Yeah, we do.
We'll get on that later. But sure. So if we raise the money for the kids, I'm all about helping out Operation Warm. Check them out, operationwarm.org. You'll see it's a legit thing. And we'll be tweeting back and forth with them over the next few weeks. We don't know how long this is going to run, but we're already at $500. Clearly, we're going to get to $1,000. And we would encourage people to go well above that $1,000 mark. We'll do our best to get those pants and do something funny out at the BCS with me wearing my gold pants. So,
yep.
There it is. Let's get to our next game. Texas Tech at home against Oklahoma State. Now, Tech lost its first game of the year last week, 38-30, mm-hmm. on the road at Oklahoma. Now they get a crack at another Oklahoma squad.
Yes.
7 p.m. on Fox. I have no lean here. This feels like a total toss-up to me. The favorites 4-1 against the spread in their last five meetings, but I was hoping maybe you could give me some insight and lead me on here, because I honestly, I don't even have a team highlighted. No idea who I'm picking.
What a weird time it is, and I mentioned this on Sunday, that we're looking at Oklahoma State as a team that plays really good defense and can't throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, we talked
things
about
things are amiss in Stillwater.
We talked about it on the Sunday show. It was score was reversed.
Mm-hmm. Here's how I feel about this game. I think Lubbock is a weird, interesting place to play. I think Oklahoma State, I was encouraged by their ability to run the ball last week. I'd be more encouraged if they were able to do it more consistently, because that's something that's been a hallmark of their team, is that balance on offense these past few years that they really haven't been getting this year. Encouraged by Desmond Rowland, encouraged by some of the offensive line play. The defensive line has been lights out, a lot of good players there. I want to see Texas Tech be able to, I mean, this is a thing we saw from Ohio State. I want to see them separate themselves from an okay to decent, you know, Oklahoma State's a ranked team. I want to see some separation there. You'd like to see fewer turnovers that ultimately cost them the game against Oklahoma, better play from the secondary, and the Oklahoma State team is, you know, they still have Josh Stewart. They can still light people up if they get him the ball, if they move him around, if they get creative in their ways to get him the ball. But I think Texas Tech at home here, coming back home after a bad loss, I feel like they can regroup. I'm really happy this game isn't on the road for Texas Tech in terms of what they're able to do moving forward. So I'm going to say Texas Tech here wins this game. The spread, once again, is what, Ty? It's 1 point?
2.5.
2.5. It moved up since I looked. Okay. So 2.5 points. I still think they win this game 31-24.
Oklahoma State's a bit of a mystery to me, because They were headed into the season. I remember before the season started, you and I both sort of liked the Cowboys.
Right.
And then opening week, 21-3 over Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow, you know, they can score, but they also play defense. And then we watched more of Mississippi State, and we realized that they were like a steaming pile of dog crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do we make of Oklahoma State? They lost on the road against West Virginia. Now they're going to Lubbock, which we've often compared to Mars on this show.
Mars.
I'm going to go Texas Tech as well. Over-under is about 67-ish points, so Vegas liking a lot of points here, maybe in the 30s. I'm not going to play the shootout for this one because I'm just not certain of that. But I do like Texas Tech a little bit more. I feel like we know a little bit more about them at this point. And plus, the whole box score thing last week for Oklahoma State really threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is going on there. So let's go Texas Tech here as well.
I'm going Tech.
7 p.m. on ESPN. Missouri. The Tigers looking to rebound at home after that crushing defeat last week at the hands of South Carolina. A 10.5-point favorite now as the Tennessee Volunteers come into town, Dan. Tennessee's a bit frisky. We've been talking about.
New quarterback.
Vols all season. Got that new quarterback. What's his name again?
Josh Dobbs. I want to say he's a freshman.
Not to be confused with Josh Dodd.
Absolutely not.
How does Missouri now respond to that heartbreaker last week? What do they do here?
I know Missouri has a good coach. I know there's all sorts of things to like about Missouri on both sides of the ball. They have one of the best, and he's in the conversation for being the best defensive lineman, and Michael Sam in the country. Certainly his production would point to that. Not crazy about Matty Mock in tight situations. Still not crazy about Tennessee on the road. So I think this is a nice bounce back spot for Missouri. I think they match up really nicely against what Tennessee does well. It should be difficult to play in Columbia, given that this is still a team competing for the SEC East crown. They're not in control, I don't believe, of their own destiny, or are they?
They still are. They just need to win out.
They need to win out. So
that's not an easy task, but sure.
Right. They're still, because South Carolina's lost a couple times. I don't like the fact that it's a freshman quarterback going to Missouri and seeing this defensive line. So I think Missouri has a nice bounce back spot here. I think LaDainian Washington has a nice day. I still think Marquez North for Tennessee, if it can get to him, I feel good about a huge game from him. But I'm going to take Missouri here by a couple touchdowns. I think they win this game actually by more than that. I think 38-20.
38-20, okay.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. All the logic is there. I would counter a bit by saying that Tennessee was awful throwing the football even before they changed quarterback. And so how great a disparity will we even witness here as there's a new guy now, granted, on the road in Missouri against a team that may be in a bounce back spot.
Right.
But how much do they really lose there in now going to the new guy? That's what remains to be seen for me. And
right.
I am very tempted to go Tennessee here because I feel like it's about a 10-point game.
Mm-hmm.
The new quarterback, though, does throw me off. God, that throws me off.
Yeah. Both teams really, really beat up under center.
Tennessee is 6-1, by the way, against the spread. Get this, in their last seven games after scoring less than 20 points in their previous game.
Okay.
You got all that?
All right, that's fine. I'm going with Missouri.
I'm gonna go Tennessee.
All right.
Late
we
backdoor
cover.
Late backdoor cover. Just to give us a reason to play that sound on Sunday.
Yeah.
Late backdoor cover for Tennessee.
Okay.
Finally, 8 p.m. It is the big one.
Ooh.
On ABC.
I don't know why I made that sound.
Florida State -22 at home against Miami. The underdog here. 11-0 against the spread in their last 11 meetings, Dan.
Yeah. I don't know how much that means, but that certainly sounds like a thing.
11-0 against the spread, no less. Wow.
So going back to 2002.
I love these gambling lines because I just don't read that deeply into them. But it's interesting. You know, 11-0 is significant. These games have very often been kind of tight. Florida State obviously has the world by the you-know-whats, and Jameis Winston is playing fantastically.
I'm going to go with Florida State here. I'm a little bit trepidatious about going with the Noles here just because it's a big line, and I know Miami's looked sloppy, and they haven't been able to finish drives, and they've had turnover issues, but it's not a terrible Miami defense. And Florida State, at times, can get a little bit sloppy defensively, especially against more traditional running attacks. Talk to Bud Elliott about this on the selection committee, the SB Nation video thing we do earlier on in the week. And that's something, especially given if there is an absolute strength of this Miami team, it's a good offensive line and it's a great running back. So for a team to go to a hostile environment, this is my thing week in and week out and game in, game out, can run the ball, can control the clock a little bit. You have talent in different spots. It's a good coach in Al Golden. I think we can agree on that. He has his team undefeated and ranked seventh. It's an ugly seven, but it's still they're pulling out these games. So there is a degree of coaching that's being ushered onto the Miami team. So I'm going to go Florida State here, but I don't feel great about it. I'm going to say 42-17, and I think it's much closer than that earlier on. I think Florida State pulls it out late.
Do I think Florida State destroys Miami here? Florida State,
a good defense though.
Florida State is the better team. My concern is this: Miami needs to run with Duke Johnson because we know he's probably, fair to say, the best player on that offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they get down early, and I think they could get down early against Florida State, then they're going to rely on Stephen Morris to throw the football, and we know he isn't always the most careful doing that. So they need to remain patient. And actually, as I'm recording this here, I see a tweet come through from Bud Elliott saying that Miami needs to be patient. And I think that is the key here, because if they get down early and if the game turns on its ear and all of a sudden Stephen Morris has to throw the football a lot, that's when you risk
without
this
his best receiver, mind you,
without his best receiver. Sure. That's when this game could sort of come off the swivel. So I like Florida State a lot. I realize this rivalry is often very close, as the betting trends might indicate. I don't really read that deeply into them. I'm going to take Florida State minus whatever at this point. They've looked that good.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
All right. That does it for our week 9 games. Do you have a lock? Because Chris and I both gave ours.
Oh, I do have a lock. Who did I go with? I looked at the slate. I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Missouri.
Really?
I enjoyed my time at Shakespeare's Pizza.
You're going to lay 10.5.
I'm going to lay 10.5. I feel good about Missouri.
Lock of the week.
I cut you off there with the sound.
You
did.
No, I'm all about that Henry Josey life. I feel good about the Tigers. Okay. I'm going to sell on that freshman quarterback going to Columbia.
Okay. Well, you have not lost this year. So
that's not bad. That's not a bad place to be.
Solid verbal locks, by the way, for those of you playing the home game.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hitting. You're 8-0-1 on the year. Chris the Capper is 7-3, and I'm 6-4. So We're all sort of finding our stride here as we progress through the season. There are a number of other games, mind you,
yes,
that we didn't really get through. We've got about 10 to 15 minutes left here on the show. Do we want to do a quick lightning round of some other action?
Yeah, I'm going to read a game to you, and I'm going to ask you if there is intrigue about anything within that matchup.
Okay, let's play the sound.
Play it.
Let's get to our lightning round, Dan. What games you got for me?
Wisconsin-Iowa.
I like Wisconsin big in this football game, but no real intrigue for me otherwise.
Melvin Gordon, reason to watch this game.
Sure.
I was not bad defensively. Ohio State-Purdue, any reason?
Ohio State's had trouble with Purdue recently.
They have had trouble with Purdue. Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm inclined to go points. Purdue plus the points here. Not because Purdue's any good, but because in select spots this season, Purdue has been kind of plucky. I'll take the points here against Ohio State.
Wow. Illinois-Penn State. Will Nathan Shielhouse's father be at this game?
If he is, it'll be in State College. Maybe he's not banned there.
I don't believe he's banned from State College, no.
10 points feels a bit steep to me, especially because Penn State's defense has a really difficult time right now. They just can't stop anybody. So Penn State wins this game, but they win by 4.
Okay, that's not bad. Clemson, Virginia. Virginia, a defense that looked good early on in the season, hasn't been able to do anything. Now 0-4 in the ACC, and people are already openly wondering if Mike London's time is done in Charlottesville.
Virginia, also a team that has the same point spread as Maryland last week, a Maryland team that, granted, is without a number of its key contributors, but still a much better team. I am a bit dumbfounded as to why this point spread is only 17. I like Clemson by just a glacier in this game. They're going to maul the Hoos.
Okay. Minnesota, Indiana. This game, I feel like, could be fun.
Could be
it
a lot of fun.
It doesn't have any sort of impact. Minnesota now bowl eligible. Indiana trying to get there 3-4. A lot of offense involved in this game, potentially.
Yeah. No, I'm intrigued from that standpoint and that standpoint alone. Also, two programs, if you're a real Big Ten or college football diehard, this may not be the most fun game to watch, but two programs that are sort of upstart.
So you like to see some climbing.
Trying to
some
build something climbing. Now. Minnesota, as you mentioned, bowl eligible. Indiana trying to get there. Kevin Wilson's done a great job. So from that standpoint and that standpoint alone, should be a lot of points here. Should be fun to watch between two teams that are trying to get there.
Auburn, Arkansas in Fayetteville.
Ugh. Do we have to pick this game?
You don't have to. There's some quarterback injury issues for Auburn.
Only 8 points, your point spread here. Which I found a bit interesting. Now, I know it's a road game in the SEC, but Arkansas has been dreadful.
Yeah.
They've been really bad. And I know they like to run the football, but Auburn's defense has quietly been pretty good. I don't even think quietly.
I think they're a good defense.
I don't understand the point spread, is what I'm saying. I'm interested from that standpoint. I don't understand how they're only an 8-point favorite. I would expect more.
No, yeah, well, it's the SEC. It's a road situation. Who knows? Yeah. South Alabama, Arkansas. I'm just kidding. Fresno State, is this the week they go down? It's against Nevada. It's a 10:30 kick.
Give me your gut. No.
It's at Fresno. I feel like if they're gonna go down, I mean, there is some turmoil with Wyoming and that coaching staff. But if they're gonna go down, it's probably gonna be a road game with Wyoming and San Jose State coming on the road. I don't think it's gonna come this week.
Look, the point spread is 3 touchdowns. If you decide that betting the 10:30 game between Nevada and Fresno is for you,
keeps your day exciting all day, Ty.
All I can say is that I hope it was just an otherwise horrible day of gambling for you and that you're trying to use this one to break even. Because if you're picking this game, something's wrong.
Right.
Don't pick this game.
Ty, can I get some drum and fife, please?
Absolutely. There it is.
Oh, love this sound. Here we go. Lafayette, Georgetown, at Georgetown, Lafayette, 2-5. Big win last week for Lafayette over Holy Cross, 2-5, 2-0 in conference. Georgetown, 1-7. So they've played more games, again, than Lafayette. 1-7, but 0-2 in conference.
Yeah, it pains me.
If they're 0-2 in conference and played 8 games,
yeah,
6 non-conference games? Is my math correct there?
We need to update that spreadsheet
somewhere
at Patriot League headquarters to find out how the hell they're figuring out who plays who.
Okay, so Lafayette at Georgetown.
Gotta go Lafayette. Georgetown's been bad this year. I bet with Georgetown.
In the Patriot League.
I went with Georgetown once already, and that was enough. So we gotta go Lafayette here.
Really have not come close other than their win against Davidson. So, yeah.
That was a big win, but I don't think so.
Go in Lafayette here, of course, alma mater of Richard Rubenstein and Katie the Capper.
Sure.
Holy Cross, Fordham. Holy Cross 3-6 on the season, 1-2 in the Patriot League. Fordham 8-0. No conference. They're conferenceless.
We're going to go the fighting forwards here, Dan.
At least according to Yahoos.
Yeah. Give me the fighting forwards. The Rams.
Going with the Fightin' Fords. Going with the Rams here. Where's this game?
I have no idea.
The game's in the Bronx. Holy Cross coming to the Bronx. Yeah, I'm going Fordham here. I'm riding that Ram train. Bucknell, Colgate. Bucknell 3-4, 1-2 in the Patriot League. Colgate 3-5, 2-0 in the Patriot League. My math also indicates that they have played 6 non-conference games. I think Yahoo's scoring. I think their standings are just a little bit weird, but maybe not. Actually, it looks like it's all correct because they've played Air Force, Albany, New Hampshire, Yale, Cornell, and Stony Brook, and now they've played Holy Cross and Georgetown. Wow, Patriot League football.
Bucknell ran one up on Lehigh last week.
Yes, they did.
48-10, something like that.
You've been picking against the Bison.
Yeah, I think now's the time to buy in on the Bison, even though.
Buying the buys.
My experience visiting Bucknell was not the best, but...
Why is that? Walk me through your uncomfortable experience visiting Bucknell.
Well, it's just sort of in the middle of nowhere. It's on a big hill. Very beautiful campus, a nice campus, but...
Okay.
It was just sort of nothing there, like even less there than Penn State.
Wow.
And I encountered a few snooty people. I didn't want to be there.
Snooty Bucknellians.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me. The Bison, very snooty. In the middle of a field, you know... It was one of those early visits. It just wasn't for me.
It happens. No, yeah. It absolutely happens. Those are all of the Patriot League matchups this week. In case you're interested, Katie the Capper, who's 13-6 against the spread, I don't know if she's watched a college football game this season. I don't know if she's ever watched a college football game this season. She appears to be a Michigan fan by some sort of proxy.
Yeah.
Georgia over Florida. I like that pick.
Hold on. USC. I need to write these down here because I'm
write these down. Not only did I tell her that she was 13-6 against the spread without knowing anything, she took that as, I need to step my game up.
Right. No. And by the way, for those who are our Facebook friends,
yes.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you haven't done it yet, please get on that.
Oh, get on that Facebook.
I did post that Chris the Capper responded to Katie the Capper's selections.
Really?
He went undefeated last week. He went 5-0 on his
games. She went 3-2.
So, you know, they might be doing better at this than we are. She has Georgia. Who else?
She has Georgia. She has USC going on the road Friday night and winning that game.
Okay.
She's going with the Wolverines to beat the Spartans going on the road.
Naturally.
She likes the Noles at home. She's going to give those points. Texas Tech by those couple points as well.
Okay. So she's got Georgia, USC, Michigan, Florida State, and Texas Tech.
That's where she's landing.
All right. Well, I'll email Chris right after we get off the horn here and see what his selections are. We could probably find some way to track.
And he's
this
a Michigan
well.
State guy too, right?
He's a Michigan State guy. So
she's a Michigan fan. This is a big matchup here.
This is a battle between cappers.
All sorts of pride. Yeah, inter-capper pride.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's close it out with this one. We've promised this for a while, Dan.
Yes.
Georgia Southern.
Ooh.
Southern at home against Furman, a team that battled LSU for like three quarters.
True. The Purple Paladins.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern 4-3, 2-3 in conference, in the Southern Conference.
I'm going Furman here. Furman on
You're
the
going
road.
Who?
Furman on the road.
You're going Purple Paladins?
Yeah, on the road against Georgia Southern.
You know what? I'm going the home team.
Wow, look at you. Playing to the fan base.
I've always really had a lot of disregard for the northern parts of Georgia.
Yeah.
So I'm going Georgia Southern here.
Okay.
They keep on rolling. I know their record in conference isn't the best, and they lost to App State last week. But they're coming off of a nice bit of rest after the nice Citadel win.
Yeah.
We've talked about that game a lot.
That was like a whole podcast.
Yeah. No, that was a special podcast. Wasn't crazy about the Samford loss. Felt like it could have gone Georgia Southern's way. Chattanooga was a close call. I like that they pulled that out. St. Francis, they dominated. And I feel like they're going to go back to the form from that September 7th tete-a-tete.
Yeah.
When they face Furman this coming Saturday. I don't feel good about going with the Paladins. So let's go Eagles. Let's soar, Eagles. Soar.
I love their logo. Looks like an authentic bald eagle with the yellow beak and the... It's sort of like a Philadelphia eagle, Dan, except it's not italicized. Such a big game this is that the buy on StubHub link...
What are we talking about here? Thousands?
They don't even list a price, Dan. It's priceless.
I don't think they're listing a price because tickets are long gone.
Yeah, there it is. So
tickets are unavailable in the greater Southern Georgia area.
Well, there you have it. Week 10... Our locks are as follows. Chris the Capper going with USC plus the 5. I am laying the 6, taking Michigan State at home against Michigan, and you are laying the 10.5 points, and you're going to go with Missouri over the Tennessee Volunteers and their freshman quarterback or their new quarterback, whatever he is, not to be confused with former producer Josh Dodd.
So this was a question that was posed to me on Easy Call, which goes up every Wednesday at midday, lunchtime on SB Nation. It's a preview show I do.
Yeah.
This week was at a barbecue spot, Morgan's in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And one of the questions was, how long should one wait? And this was posed to me as a male interested in females.
Yeah.
How long should one wait before taking a lady friend out on a sloppier barbecue date?
Sloppier barbecue date.
Right. So, you have ribs maybe with sauce and, you know, there's mac and cheese. So there are things that could spill and, you know, get all over the place.
No, I tell you what, I think you do that early, Dan.
I say right away.
Yeah, I think right out of the chute, that's a good. First off, it breaks the ice.
Yeah, it's an interactive thing. It's, you know, a lot of it's handheld.
Interactive, you know, you get to get someone out of their comfort zone pretty early, see what they're made out
of. Or see if that is their comfort zone.
Sure. So I think if it's me, I think you do that right out of the chute. And this is a guy who's already done a first date at like a Red Robin.
Really?
Yeah, just, you know.
Red Robin's not, I mean, it's not sloppy.
It's not sloppy, but it's by no means formal.
Correct.
So, you know, let's see what you're like in a non-formal setting.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it says a lot about their taste in food. It says a lot about their taste in decorum. Barbecue spots, it's informal, but at the same time, you're eating well. It's a hearty meal.
Yeah.
You've been with your lady friend for quite some time.
Yeah, it's like 3.5 years now.
Where was your first date? Is this the Red Robin?
Was this
the
was at Red Robin. Yeah, see, it works.
Wow. What did you order?
Definitely. I had a few beers. I know that. I don't know.
But it went well.
It went well. We didn't do the Bloomin' Onion, I can tell you that. Or is that? No, that's out.
No, that's a different place, Ty.
What do they have? They have something special.
They have bottomless fries, I think, at Red Robin.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why I had the beer.
So you did Red Robin and a movie.
Red Robin and Inception, I believe.
You went first date was Inception.
Yeah, it you couldn't have planned it out any better, Dan. Had no idea what the movie was about because we had so much beer. Just saying, throw
so
it out
your
there.
Your first date was boom.
Came out of the movie. What the hell was that movie about? I don't know. Had to go see it again.
What?
Loved it the second time.
It's a good first date movie because it's a good movie to talk about afterwards.
We talked about it. We didn't know what the hell happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good move, Ty. Inadvertent good move.
Thank you. It's not often you show respect.
Red Robin and Inception.
Let me throw another one out there, by the way.
Okay.
I have to change some names here to protect the innocent.
Okay.
We got an email today from a gentleman who says that they were interviewing a potential candidate for a position at said company, whatever that company is. And due to some travel restrictions, they were forced to conduct the interview over Skype.
Okay.
Now,
it doesn't sound totally unreasonable.
No. A lot of places doing this now. Everyone's in cost-cutting mode. They want to save money. Let's do it through Skype, see what you're made out of.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that the applicant's username, the Skype handle, had a very blatant reference to a porn star in it.
Repeat that one more time for full effect.
He is saying that the applicant, his Skype handle, his Skype username, what have you,
right,
had a very blatant reference to a porn star in it.
Like liking somebody or like that is their name?
It used the name of a porn star in the Skype handle.
Okay.
He is saying that he, as well as some of the guys in the office, were a bit hesitant to bring up the unique handle.
Yeah.
When talking to this applicant,
I'm now looking at the email and I'm seeing the username.
His question: should the username make this person more or less hireable?
Okay.
Now keep in mind, we could have a direct effect on whether someone gets a job.
Right. Okay. You need to have a professional email address. You wouldn't apply for a job. You wouldn't apply for a job as like Notre Dame fan 44.
This is worse than having an @AOL.com email address.
Oh, it's much worse. It says something about professionalism, and I'm okay. Like, do what you got to do. And maybe this was just a huge mistake, but I don't know why you would have a Skype username with a porn star name in it anyway. I don't know what that proves exactly. But yeah, this is a 16, 17-year-old thing
Yeah.
to not have a professional email address, a professional Skype name. That's just kind of dumb. Unless, A, he's interviewing to become a porn star.
We never understood from this email what exactly the position was.
Right.
Yeah, that could be a possibility.
If you're hiring somebody to just make sandwiches, but I don't think you'd be doing a Skype interview for a position like that.
What about like a male model? What about that? Like, I don't know what this guy, I don't know what he's hiring for.
Well, for that, for something like a male model, you don't need to talk to them, right? You just need to
actually
see,
you
like,
probably don't want to talk to them, right?
Right.
Huh.
So, assuming that it's some sort of respectable professional vocation, that's an unhireable situation.
Yeah,
an unhireable person.
It's a good thing you didn't put the handle on the resume.
So, I mean, like, let me ask you this: you, in your mysterious day job,
yeah,
you are seeing people apply for jobs around you and in your department. Have you ever interviewed somebody?
No, I haven't.
You've never interviewed somebody?
No.
If never said person, and this is a, you work at a very professional place.
I do.
If there were an applicant that did, even if it weren't this porn star username, but it were something like, you know, Notre Dame fan 58, that's where you can Skype, or like they sent an email from like Tiger Lover. You know, I don't know what it is. Is that like a big red flag, would you say, for the HR of your company?
I would hope so. I can't speak for HR. I don't know what HR does, but I know it's a tough job market. I know a lot of people need jobs. And, you know, if you got an email address or a handle like this that makes you stick out and look a little less professional.
Right.
That should be a red flag.
You got to do better than that. For those keeping track and trying to figure out exactly what Ty's mysterious day job is, we've now eliminated anything involving Red Robin.
Pretty much, yeah.
Do they have the Bloomin' Onion? Or he's just playing a very slick game of misdirection.
Well,
and Ty's real last name, it's Tyler Red Robin.
That's right. Well, okay. You know,
that's all I got.
We are professional entertainers here on the Solid Verbal. Yeah. That's what we do. And best of luck to our friend doing the hiring. Best of luck to our friends out there watching college football this week. Again, the big one is on Saturday night between Florida State and Miami. A bunch of other games to dot your way through Saturday until you get there. We'll be live in living color on the Twitter. And do check us out at 408-VERBAL-1 if you'd like to leave a reverb. Let us know what is on your mind. In the meantime, check us out on Facebook. Every like counts. Check us out on Twitter, where we tweet under the handle at SolidVerbal.
Every follow counts.
Look for us on FanCred. It's this new hot social networking thing that you might check out on your phone. And donate to Pants Across America. We're going to put a post up on SolidVerbal.com. Give you more information. I'm thinking we should call these the Hilden Pants. Does that make sense?
Ooh, I like that too.
Maybe go Hilden Pants with these things here. We'll wear
Ty
them out.
Hilden Pants.
Wear them out at the BCS game. Everyone's changing the Twitter handle now. Maybe I just go Hilden Pants.
Yeah. Did you see those Solid Verbal guys?
Yeah.
They're looking super sleek and handsome.
There it is.
Yeah.
On that note, for that guy over there in beautiful New York City, for myself, Ty, here in good old Eastern PA, thanks again for tuning into the Solid Verbal. We will catch you all on Sunday. In the meantime, enjoy the games and by all means, stay solid.
Peace.